Welcome back to the Extra Point Podcast. Something a little different today. I'm Brett, one of the pastors here, and I'm here with Travis, one of the other pastors. And usually this podcast is a place for some extra insight into the messages or a sermon that we recently taught or a place to answer a question. But over the next handful of weeks, we're going to do something a little different, and we're going to take a little bit of a deeper look into why we do some of the things we do here at First Family. And so today, one of the things we're going to look at, and that's why Travis is with me, is we're going to talk about something we say pretty often here, and that is that people grow best in community.
That's right.
And so I got Travis here with me, and we're going to dialogue a little bit about why is that true?
Absolutely. Thanks, Brett. I think this is something we want to continue to cast vision and continue to remind people of this importance. I'm grateful to address this a little bit. And I think we just want to explain on the front end, we are not saying we don't grow on Sunday morning in other avenues and other venues. First Family Church, I think, does a great job of offering lots of environments for growth. I think what we are trying to explain and continue to remind you and ourselves as well is community is an essential element to spiritual growth. I think the New Testament is just a great model of that. Like Christ established a church. He knew that's what the people need to be known and loved and cared for. And so that we do. We believe that we grow best in community. God has given us brothers and sisters in the faith who he uses to sharpen us, to strengthen us, to mold us. And I just want to take a few minutes to explain maybe just a few of the benefits of small group ministry. That's kind of when we say community, that's the synonym we're using, small groups. Some of the benefits of small groups and why those are such a win for First Family Church.
And a win for our people.
Yeah, absolutely. We say that. We want every single person in a small group. The reason why? Because we grow best in community. So here's a few things that happen better in a small group than on a Sunday morning. So they still happen on a Sunday morning, and it does require some investment on us on a Sunday morning. But these just, by the very genesis of a small group ministry, these happen better in those environments. So the first is relationships demand time. You all know this. I don't have to explain that too much, but a quick, how are you doing with a simple, I'm doing fine or I'm doing okay, doesn't establish community, doesn't create deep relationships. If you want to get to know somebody, you got to invest the time in them. And that's why small groups are an hour and a half long once a week, because they do that a whole lot better. None of us develop friendships instantly.
Yeah. And I think of Sunday morning, there's a vast array of life stages and personalities, which is beautiful.
Yep.
But it can also mean that, I think about like my wife, for example, I'm serving a lot of Sundays. And so a lot of weeks she's handling our kids between services, pick up, drop off. And so her ability to engage in a meaningful conversation and like it's, deep relationship is more difficult than on a Sunday night at someone's house.
And the home environment is conducive to that. Our gym's not probably the greatest environment for those relationships to be built.
Yeah.
A lot of distractions.
It almost feels at times not down on our space. Like, praise the Lord that he's given us this space. But like if you see someone in the aisle at Walmart, you're probably not going to...
A head nod, a wave.
Yeah. Or you might just talk a little bit about how's work going? Or I saw you guys got back from a trip. How did it go? But it is tough to get beyond that on a Sunday morning.
Yeah. The second one I thought of was that the Word of God and sermons, they need to be processed. We do a great job. Pastor Todd is a great communicator, and he feeds the sheep well. But all of us, in order to allow it to get to our heart and our soul, it also takes time to process and to challenge, to wrestle with the content that is given. And I think that is the brilliance of small groups as well, is you hear it, you wrestle with questions, and then you have to articulate some answers. And all of that is the processing environment where application and accountability come out in those.
For me personally, it's easy for me to have a decisive thought in my processing of a sermon.
Yep.
Then in my small group, there's perspectives.
Yep.
It's really challenged me to be less dogmatic in maybe how I'm processing it. And to get that perspective of people in community has actually helped me to grow a ton.
100%. That back and forth dialogue, that just doesn't happen on a Sunday morning during a sermon. That happens so well in a small group environment. Grateful for that. The next one is, as followers of Christ who still struggle with the presence of sin in our life, we need people to hold us accountable in fighting sin and spiritual disciplines. And that happens well in a teaching environment where you hear the need for confession and the need to practice spiritual disciplines, but no preacher can hold hundreds of people accountable to those. He gives you the challenge. You need a brother to come alongside of you and say, how is that going? And that happens best in a small group environment.
Yeah, I agree. So I'm going to ask you a question here.
Yeah.
Because we use the word accountability, but there is a level in which like you cannot force another adult to do something.
Yep.
So in small group environment where the word accountability is used, but it's not technically, you know, I can't make you read your Bible.
Nope.
How have you seen it effective where men and women can, I'll use what it says in the New Testament, spur one another on to love and good works in a healthy way that is holding each other accountable without the relationally tense idea of like, well, I'm gonna make you do this.
Yeah. Two thoughts that came to my mind. The first is a small group question we use often is, in light of our text today, how should I obey? So then you're not bringing up maybe this spiritual discipline out of nowhere. You're referring them to the text that was just communicated. Like, you do not neglect the gathering together of the saints or things like that. You can pull something out of the text and say, so how's the Holy Spirit prompting you to obey that? That kind of starts that conversation on spiritual discipline. And then a lot of times I'll encourage small group leaders to say, like, based upon what you just said, Brett, can I hold you accountable to that? So again, I'm not forcing it like, hey, Brett, you should read your Bible 7 days a week. It's almost like a reply to you saying, hey, I need to read my Bible more. A good small group leader would follow that up by saying, awesome. Hey, can I hold you accountable to that? Next week, do you mind if I ask you how you're doing? So it's there prompted by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. You as a small group leader are just a good brother following up on what they committed to. Is that helpful?
Yeah. And I think even for myself, I think there have been seasons where as a small group leader, I haven't done a great job.
Oh, for
of
sure.
Being, it's easy to say like, well, we have accountability, but I haven't always done a great job of following up with someone when they've maybe expressed, hey, I want to do better at this. And so that's, I think, the great part about, hey, we grow best in community is that sometimes you grow in your followership.
Yep.
And sometimes you grow in your leadership.
Both happen.
And
absolutely.
They both happen simultaneously. And sometimes one's more painful or, you know, maybe not as painful, but I think that's the great part about community is that it's not just someone leading and a bunch of people growing. Hopefully it's everyone
mutual.
Growing together.
That's right.
In the different aspects of where the Holy Spirit knows they need growth.
And someone's prompting from the Holy Spirit usually prompts somebody else's to respond the same way. Like, man, by you saying that, I felt challenged to do that as well. And it is, it's the mutual, accountability and support. That's really good. Here's another one. All of us maybe aren't in a difficult season now, but you will. When that difficult season comes, you're going to need a support system. When life falls apart, who are you texting? Who are you calling? Who are you asking for help? We have 8 elders currently. Sadly, 8 elders cannot meet the needs of almost 1,000 people. We need a team, a network of support. That's what we desire small groups to be. So you have people that are checking in on you regularly, consistently. And so when life gets difficult, you have a support system. That's what every one of us needs, that text thread that you know people will instantly be praying for you. And that happens best in a small group.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I 100% agree with that. Last year, our son was in the hospital for pneumonia, and just the amount of people that texted me, sent us a gift card, came by, even people that maybe they had been in small group with us at a previous time but weren't at the moment, I was a great example of in those moments of need.
Yep.
Regardless of your role, you know, maybe you're just a participant, maybe a member of a small group, maybe you're the leader.
Mm-hmm.
People really just coming around and caring for one another.
Absolutely. Yep. You can instantly share. We got a text message last night about one of our small group leaders' moms who's in the ICU. We prayed instantly. Really grateful for that. And I think that leads into my next point as well is each, and you mentioned this just a little bit earlier, is each follower of Christ, each person saved by God's grace, it's our responsibility to pour into the lives of other regardless of our title. And that's that happens really well in a small group, whether it's hospitality or just listening or all the spiritual gifts come into play in a small group environment in a living room. And we're really grateful for that. We saw this on Thursday night. Our small group ends at 8. We had people in my living room till 10 o'clock just ministering to one another, caring for the needs of one another. And none of those individuals had official roles. They were just doing their Christian responsibility of loving one another.
Yeah. I think about last year, there was a man in our group who it was struggling, but he hadn't made it known. Hmm. And another man in our group really noticed that because he had faced something similar.
Hmm.
And he didn't bring it to me,
mm-hmm.
just met with him.
Yep.
And only later did I find out, like, yeah, we met, and he ministered to him right there, totally outside of the knowledge of the quote-unquote leaders.
Hmm.
And I was so blessed by
that's
that
right.
because I'm like, that's just two brothers in Christ doing what Christians do, the second greatest commandment.
Right.
Loving each other.
That's right.
Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor.
It's beautiful.
So I think there's just some just amazing examples of that happening all over our church.
Yep.
And a lot of times those people, they're just thriving in anonymity.
You got it.
They're not raising their hand saying, hey, look what I'm doing, which is...
It's beautiful.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Not everyone gets to see that, but it is amazing.
Yep. And then the last one, I'm still convinced of this. Listeners may disagree, but I think it's a good conversation. I'm still convinced, even in our culture, which maybe there's less people, statistics seem to say this, I could be argued against this, but it seems like church is getting a worse reputation in our culture. The non-Christians want nothing to do with us. Agnostics want nothing to do with church. But every human being needs friendship and community. And I think small groups are becoming the new front door for many churches, where your neighbor is more willing to enter your front door than he is our church door. And so I think small groups are an incredible missional opportunity as people become more skeptical of the church. Still, the living room is a friendly and safe place. Would you agree with that, Brett?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's, I've even wrestled personally with the balance of accountability, growth, like iron sharpening iron can be an intimidating and sometimes awkward place for an unbeliever to come into.
For sure.
How do you balance that? How do you wrestle with that? Because I do think inviting your neighbor over and saying, like, hey, we just have a Bible study on Tuesday nights.
Yep.
I think non-Christians don't always identify with the language of small group, you know, community group, whatever you call it. But a Bible study, that's clear to them.
Yeah.
I do think people, just a couple months ago, a man in our church was telling me about how he has all his neighborhood guys over at his house for a Bible study, and which is amazing.
Perfect example.
And they're willing to come.
Yep.
And he said even some of them are different denominations, and he doesn't even know what some of them believe theologically,
right.
but they're just studying the Bible together and letting the Word speak and be plain.
Exactly.
So my question is, if we say you grow best in community and we want to hold each other accountable, how do we balance that if someone shows up and they're like, I'm not even a Christian.
Yep.
I'm searching. I'm exploring.
I can't deny the awkwardness. So I'm going to just fully be transparent. Like, a small group environment will be pretty awkward, but I still think in their heart of heart, they want what we have. That openness, that transparency, the confession, the I need help, I'm a mess. Even though that's awkward, I think that the wins of it outweigh the awkwardness of it. Let them see it. Maybe they don't even have to participate, but just one of your small group guys confesses some sins. That individual might be terribly uncomfortable, but I think at the end of the night, they're going to be amazed. Like, did that just happen?
Yeah.
A guy was just real to that level. I want that. Because you know what? That guy's also a sinner who has things that he needs help with. So I don't know. That's probably not the greatest dance in the world, but like it is awkward.
Yeah.
That environment is a little awkward.
The few times that that's happened at groups that I've been a part of, mm-hmm. and sometimes you don't necessarily know the spiritual temperature of someone who's visiting.
Right.
And so you're kind of just feeling it out. But I think just—
Thanks for joining us. You're welcome.
Yeah. And just being upfront with them, like it can be an intense environment.
Yep.
We're all here to grow together and to, you know, as the Bible says, iron sharpens iron.
Yep.
And I think being upfront with people doesn't mean that it's always worked out.
No.
Sometimes they're like, hey, it's not for me.
Yeah.
But it's probably better that they see it for what it is up front.
It's who we really are.
Yeah. Than to
feel
like they join in on something and then all of a sudden it's different.
Yep.
I'm like, well, this wasn't how it was all the other times I was coming.
Uh-huh. So listeners, I would just say one more time, if you're a part of First Family Church, but you're not in a small group, I just want to encourage you, like, you're missing out. There's just so many, those were just listed six, but there's so many benefits from living with people who know you, sharing your hurts and concerns, allowing them to minister to you, allowing them to challenge you and push back on things you say and hold you accountable, like all those things we just mentioned, you need and I need. And so I would highly encourage you, find a small group. Let me help you find a small group. You'll be blessed by it.
If you want to get involved in a small group, maybe aren't in one, you can reach out to Travis.
Yep. I'm at the Connect Center every Sunday. You can go to our website and go to Next Steps, click Join a Small Group to check out more about our small group ministry. We'd love to connect with you.
All right. Well, that's been the first episode in a little different Extra Point podcast for the next couple weeks. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Extra Point podcast. To find more content and resources to grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus, go online to firstfamily.church/resources.